The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
All right, you all get a second week of this. Lord, some of your faces look familiar. You came back. You people are gluttons for punishment here. Anyway, I praise the Lord that we have been called to the house of the Lord to rejoice and to be glad in it. I want to welcome you all that are here in the sanctuary and certainly those that are watching us online. I also want to say Maria was kind about it. She said, we hope to see you sometime. I want to see you next week. Yeah, I want to see you next week. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Hebrews. I think it's time, or way past time, if you will, that the church would be the church. Thank you, Marty. It is important for the church to be the church. If the world expects to have a chance at knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be who God called us to be. And so I perhaps thought maybe that maybe some of the challenges, maybe the church has lost her way and maybe not sure what she's supposed to be doing. I want to also encourage you that God has not stopped what he started before Genesis 1:1. He's still doing that work. And if he's going to do that work, we need to come alongside of him, because he doesn't need us. He wants us to come alongside of him and help him in the work. And so how many of you all know somebody, even as you sit here right now, that is unsaved? Even you there online, I see you raising your hand too. Yeah, there are always somebody in our midst. God has placed them there. And so if we're going to be the church, we've got to do what God is doing. So I just want to speak a little briefly with you this morning about church according to Christ. Church according to Christ. I'm one of these folks that just thinks that if we're supposed to be something, then we might as well go where the standard is to understand what it is we're supposed to be. And so we get that from not Hollywood, not the culture. I am so sick and tired of the culture telling the church what it ought to be. I mean, that happens more often than you might imagine. And so they seem to know, the culture seems to know when we're not being the church, when our behaviors don't reflect. And I want you all to know so that we're ready here at the King's Chapel that we're moving into a time of darkness where the persecutions are going to increase. I said this last week, I'll say it again. We cannot, as the church, we cannot afford to shut down. We have got to stay with what God is doing. He's our anchor. He never wavers. Okay, so church was never man's idea. Man does know how to gather, but he struggles gathering in the name of Christ. Church is not to be, as I said, dictated to us as the culture says we're supposed to be. Okay? Church is not something you go to. It's not something you go to do. Church for us should be life. Ecclesia, it's life. And so, we, not the building, we are the church. There is such a momentum, if you will, in Christendom to fill up the church building. There doesn't seem to be that type of intensity in bringing them to the builder. Let me say that again, because I'm saying it again, because obviously you all didn't hear me the first time. There seems to be this momentum. Now, I say that in love. Don't. Yeah. It seems to be a momentum to get people into the building instead of people to the builder. The builder, if we remember in Matthew, Jesus says, I will build my church. I will build my church. And so many of you know unbelievers. It is not just about telling unbelievers. How many of you all know a believer that might be able to use some encouragement? If you know somebody that just might need some encouragement, raise your hand. Now, be careful if you raise your hand, because the next thing I'm going to tell you to do, well, why aren't you encouraging them? I'm just saying, I'm not reading anybody's mail here, but I know one thing. If we're going to be the church leaves a residual in the land. If you're being the church, you can't have a light on and not see what's all around it. And so it is about us being what God has called us to be. Church is ordained by God. Did I tell you to turn to Hebrews? And I wanted, did I tell you what chapter? That's so you don't get ahead of me. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's go there real quick. And I'll try to get us in and out of here before 3 o'clock. I think that's the second service starts at 3 o'clock. Okay. Hopefully you all bought a sandwich. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 13. There is some encouragement left here by the author of Hebrews. Theologians still debate whether it's Paul who has written this book or not. But nonetheless, the solid principles that come from it. I want to start in verse 15. And we will land on 17. Are you there? Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips, and give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, but this would be unprofitable for you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that even right now, Lord God, your Holy Spirit hovers to make it known to those whose hearts you have prepared. Father, I pray that as the church, the bride of Christ, I pray that we will hear your voice this morning. Speak through me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. As I examine this particular text, and I like to put things in bite-sized pieces, and so just bear with me on this. They're going to be in threes, and so that's just me, and you all will know that. So I want to give you three O's this morning. Obedience, oversight, and oneness. I want to speak to that as the church. Obedience, oversight, and oneness. Now, we're not just trying to get Sunday passed so we can get to the next Sunday. What I speak to you this morning, and what I've been speaking to you, and what all the pastors speak to you about, we need to actually be an alive organism as the church. We actually need to be doing this stuff. How many of you know this is not a Bible study moment? Amen. No, this is, I always tell the church, study the Bible on your own time. If you got questions, just blow our phones up. We're glad that. When we come together on Sunday morning, that's worship time. That's the time when we become transparent before God and let God do in us what he wants to do in us. How many of you all know that the person next to you is jacked up? Yeah, so when we come to worship God, he makes all that all right, because our focus is on him, it should be, and not the person next to us. Amen? Okay, so let's look at these three areas as it applies to the church. And if you find yourself sort of in this album, if you will, of the church, if you are a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a member, and speaking of that, in this day and time, we have a couple of membership classes coming up, as Maria mentioned, and I actually get a chance to lead those. It's so exciting, and it's an encouragement to me. But please understand this. This thing of being the church or membership is not like joining Costco. You know, it's not, we said amen, right? Yeah, it's not like joining Costco. It's not that kind of membership. When we talk about being a part of a fellowship, a local fellowship, it is a place where you actually get to experience community. And that expensive word in the Greek is called koinonia. And it's a place where the church kind of doesn't get it right most of the time because we're a little uneasy about koinonia. It's hard. I mean, we can really hide behind these masks. But koinonia is somewhere where we have to be intentionally engaging. We got to want to do it. Yeah, but he doesn't look like me. So what? But he doesn't talk like me. So what? We have to engage one another. I understand we're in a quarantine moment, but that doesn't, social distancing doesn't mean social isolation. We can't just disappear. Okay. So in verse 17, which is where I want to emphasize, obedience, oversight, and oneness. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Now, as I break this down, please understand as you apply this to your own heart, I know some of this is going to be hard to digest because we don't do that obedience submission thing easy as human beings. Somebody say amen and then we just keep looking straight. You won't know if I'm talking about you or not. Yeah, we don't do that obedience. Listen, when we hear about the church, Christ and his bride, he has given us the marriage relationship to reflect what that looks like. And you know what he actually told wives to do in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know no human being wrote that. That had to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? Somebody ought to say amen. If nobody else, the wives ought to say amen. Listen. And so this submission thing is not so much about wives being submissive to their husbands. It's about wives being submissive to their husbands as unto the Lord. At the degree and the level that you're going to submit to the Lord, you're going to do that, and you're charged to do that as believers to your husbands. Oh, I'm getting some of those looks right now. I get it. But he says, obey and submit. So as a part of the body of Christ, which you all have committed to or surrendered to, you have chosen to come to the King's Chapel. Now, you there online, I'm not sure where your home church is. If you don't have one, we have one here for you. And small groups, community groups are how we do that koinonia thing. If you all in this building right now are not a part of a small group, shame on you. In fact, I'm going to find out who you are after service and ring your doorbell at dinner time. So you who have chosen to be here, chosen to attend, chosen to partake of the soil here at the King's Chapel, there is actually a responsibility that falls to you. You can't come in under the radar, if you will, because he says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. Now, I say this, and it's been, what, 3 years, two or three years now for my attachment to the King's Chapel. Let me say this, because my normal role as a missionary, and I travel all around, I work with a lot of pastors. One thing I can speak about in the soil out of this church, and I don't say it to pump them up, I'm telling you this is what I have experienced. You have one loving staff at the King's Chapel. Oh, no, you got to make more noise than that. See, what you're telling me, you haven't been impacted by that loving staff. You have been blessed. What a very loving shepherd and staff here at the King's Chapel. In fact, let's give God praise for Pastor Bill. Thank God that he can get. He and Mark and Brenda, thank God that he can get some respite. You want to do that. Listen, obey your leaders. Obedience in the kingdom of God. Turn to 1 Samuel 15 real quick. Got to be quick. Obedience in the kingdom of God is an expression of love toward God. When we obey his word, when we have his word and we obey them, that means we are having an expression of love. We're trusting that word. John 14:21 is where you'll find that. He who has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me, and my Father and I will come and have a resident or abide with him. Amen. So 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'll sum it just so we can move along. God says, listen, great that you want to bring in some pigs and cattle and birds. I tell you, I'm giving a summary. But it is not your offering that I desire. Now, didn't I tell you If we got to know what the church is supposed to be, we've got to go with the church template, which is in Christ Jesus. If God says, I desire obedience above sacrifice, do you think that might be what we give him? Because it's so easy to stroke a check and forget about it, and our hearts won't even be right. Let me ask you this. Do you think God has a special way that he wants to be worshipped? Do you think he's particular about how we worship him? Yeah, I think he's very precise. Has anybody seen the script on how the ark got built? How the temple got built? They were very detailed, very specific. It's just our worship is the same way. Yeah, he says over in John 4:24, I desire that you worship me in spirit and in truth. Let me tell you something about spirit and truth. This is why it's such a challenge to humankind. Spirit and truth will require you to be transparent. I was going to use the N word, but I'm not. It will require you, because I don't think you can say naked in church, can you? Okay, anyway, it requires you to be transparent. The Spirit of God moving upon you, and he impacts your spirit. And then if you're going to do it in truth, truth is the human exposure. It will look into your heart and tell you exactly what you are and who you are. You can't come in under the radar. So God says, I desire obedience above sacrifice. Putting offerings in, and let me just say this, that's not optional. You should be putting, we all should be putting offering in. That's a worship in itself. But God looks at the heart that puts the offering in. Some of you give offerings on a weekly basis, and your heart's not right with some people, and God says, you know what, if you know that you have ought against someone, and you bring your offering in, what are we supposed to do? Don't get quiet on me now. This is when you get quiet, that's just like saying amen. Because I know I'm in the right tulip patch when I go there. Y'all get quiet on me. Listen. He can make it right. Then put your offering in. God is concerned about our heart of giving. It's not how much we give or why we give. It is what is the condition of our heart. Remember that woman in the text that gave two mites? And what Jesus said about her? He said, they're going to be talking about her till I come back. Because her heart was right. I desire obedience. If obedience and submission are required by God, then we have to discipline ourselves to do them both. How many of you all like to submit? Okay, I see no hands. Let the record show I see no hands raised. No, it's a battle. It's a battle to submit. And I understand sometimes when and husbands, please, let's figure this out right now. The fact that God says submit to our wives are supposed to submit to us, it doesn't mean that we have it figured out. We can be some clueless birds sometimes. Thank you, Marty. Yeah, we can. I mean, if truth be known, as husbands, we can make some boneheaded decisions. Now, I can say this because they asked me to preach today, okay? So you can say whatever you want to say. But I'm just saying, being the fact that I'm from that fabric as well, we can make some boneheaded decisions sometimes. Isn't that right, baby? So submitting to Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says it in this way, the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, or the head of wife is man. Listen. Us as men, we love the being the head of woman part. We get warm and fuzzy about that. But we struggle. We look ugly when it comes to letting Christ be our oversight, being our Lord. Oh, the scripture says that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Can't mouth those words. There's a manifestation of lordship in our lives when we say that. And so, okay. So we recognize obedience and submission are two words we need to embrace if we're going to be the church. We can't make up what it is we want to do. We have to obey with what God has already set for us to do. Go make disciples. And making disciples, it requires us to engage one another right here in this building so that the light is bright here at the King's Chapel. When the light's bright here at the King's Chapel, people are all around in the highways and the byways and on the ocean sides can see the light and maybe come in. But listen, we're not going to love them if we're not loving us right here in this building. Yeah, that's where it starts. Here's what I'm asking you. Don't be the church photo. Be the church video. Yeah, keep this as a lifestyle. Love somebody as a lifestyle. Love somebody unconditionally. We had this whole culture unrest, ethnic unrest roll up on the church, and my God, we didn't know what to do with it. What do you mean black people don't like white people? And we struggle with that. Well, here's the church. We always love next man up, amen? But if we don't practice that, we're not going to do that. I pray that you won't get hung up on all of that noise out there in the street. Let's do love. One thing Jesus says, John 13:34-35, love one another as I have loved you. By this men will know you are my disciples, that you have loved one to another. Every time I come into the King's Chapel, there's some people that sit over here, and you people know who you are. And then there's some people that sit right here, and you people know who you are. And then there's some people that sit over here. It happens in both services. And guess what? Sometimes in a building this size, our paths never cross. Now, don't get quiet on me now. That's the way it is in Christendom. Everybody has their little spot. In fact, they sit there every Sunday. If you are in their seat, it's a problem. Some of you come in sour before you can even sit down because somebody's in your parking spot. Oh, I'm meddling now. This is a good place here. This is a good place. Listen, obedience and submission is what he requires. Now, listen, he says also in this same text, who keep watch over your soul. Now, listen, this is what the church needs to understand. If shepherds are assigned to oversee your souls, that means you got to be willing to be overseen. You've got to be willing to let your soul be kept. And maybe it's not like that all the time, because right now we live in a very narcissistic society whereby it is all about me. Not here, but I'm saying in the culture somewhere. I mean, here is different. You would never make it about you. We got quiet. Oversight, those who keep watch over your souls. The shepherd, listen, turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, that'll be a good place. Understanding the role of the shepherd. What is it that they're supposed to be doing? How is it that we're supposed to be doing it? I love shepherding. I love caring for souls. I didn't always set out trying to care for souls. God just made me that way. When I met my wife, I wasn't a touchy-feely guy, and I realized that if you're going to be called of God to be a shepherd, you got to kind of be a touchy-feely guy. You can't be soft. But you got to be touchy-feely. And so as a result of caring for souls, I cared about people. I cared about people. And when you're caring about people, you want to help get them from point A to point B. But you can't do it in your own strength. It's got to be done by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did I tell you to turn to Acts chapter 20? Let's look at verse 28 real quick. Here's Paul's charge to the elders that came out of Ephesus. And these are the shepherds. These are the leaders. Verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Made you overseers to shepherd the church. The shepherd word there is used as a verb. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I love this play on words. Don't lose sight of it. Shepherds of whom the Holy Spirit made you overseers among. You all have got to be willing to bump up against us, and we have got to be willing to bump up against you with all of life's cares. If you've got challenges or if you've got knocked down because of life, we want to know about it. We want to encourage you. Now listen, so that the church isn't put on hold while we're doing that. It's not just for the shepherds. Quickly turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to understand that this is a body work. It's not just a shepherd's work. The shepherds are among the sheep, and we're not dictators. We're not overseeing and saying, yeah, go here and do this and do that. No. We're among the sheep. And I always tell shepherds, I always tell pastors, if you don't have any sheep poop, I can say poop, right? Yeah, if you don't get any of that on you, then you're not among the sheep. And that's where we got to be. Did I tell you Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12? Are we there? Ephesians 4. I'll be summarizing real quickly. So, verse 11 tells us there have been gifts set in the church. Those are the shepherds. Look at me. Look at me. I am your gift. Don't try not to be so excited about that. Anyway, nonetheless, that wasn't my call. That was God's call. So he set me as a gift in this church. Now, as a gift, only thing you can do with a gift is do what? Receive it. Pastor Bill, Pastor Mark, Pastor Marty, Brendan, all of them, we're gifts here to you. But if you don't receive the gift, hard for that exchange to happen. And so as a result, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, we are responsible to equip the saints. You are the saints. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're the saints. We're responsible to equip you of what we do every Sunday, community groups, wherever we're teaching and preaching and proclaiming the word of God. That is an equipping time for you so that you can do the work of service. The work of service is the lifestyle worship that you minister to one another. There are some needs that are real heavy and maybe need to come across the offices here in this building or to a pastor. But brothers and sisters, let me say this. If you consider the King's Chapel your home, you should be ministering to one another among yourselves. Because that's how we grow. It's a word called edification. Edification is different than education. Education, you know. Edification means you're applying the education and you're growing. That's how we grow. And that's what Ephesians 4:12 is calling us to do. Grow in the things of God. My. Okay, so this practice of oversight requires that you be willing to be overseen or that you be willing to have your soul care. Don't try to do church by yourself. Don't be a lone ranger. I won't ask you if you're in a group, but if you're not, please see Jackie or Teresa, somebody, leave your name here, find your group to connect to. Because it's so easy, and the enemy is wreaking havoc right now to take lives out. He is, and he'll do that if he can get you separated, isolated, so he can destroy you in that way. And then finally, oneness. Oneness. This word oneness here is the same thing that Jesus preached about in John chapter 17. And I think I said this last week. If Jesus is praying to the Father, I am fully persuaded that prayer is going to get answered. And in John 17, 21, he says, Father, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one. And so when the church is functioning the way that she needs to function, even though we have the aisles, we become seamless in our practice of loving one another. It would be interesting to see what would happen in this oneness if the people who are over here this Sunday and have been over here since Jesus was here the first time, we're sitting on this side for people who have had the same, and we were just not in the same seats next Sunday. Whew. That's even scary to think about, isn't it? Oh, the power of a church seat. Listen, oneness. Turn to Galatians. He said, do this with joy, if you will, in the text we're reading from, Hebrews 13. He says, do this with joy. We ministering to you should be a joy. And I can confirm, for me, it is. And I don't care what the wow is, because I do know this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. I also know this. There is nothing that's impossible for him. And that's who we rely on. That's who we trust. It's not us, it's him. And so in this oneness, there is power in oneness. There's power. But if you never engage, if you never melt in and be the church that came out of Christ's mind, then we'll miss the power And we got too many churches missing the power. Now, when I speak this way, I'm not speaking about something I don't know about, because I know it's this way in a lot of churches. But God didn't call the King's Chapel to be a lot of churches. He called the King's Chapel to be the King's Chapel. If you're in here and you're a part of the King's Chapel, you've got the TKC DNA in your blood. Yeah, you got the we're not in Alexandria. We're not in Vienna. We're right here. And we've got that all our own DNA, if you will, that makes up this local church at the King's Chapel. Listen, did I tell you Galatians chapter 5? I did say Galatians 5? But okay, good, good, good. That's impressive. I got there before, you all got there before I did. Galatians chapter 5, and I want to look at, now not that this would apply to this church, but let's look at verse 15. I'll give 14 for traction. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor, how? Listen, it's a major disconnect in the church loving your neighbor. You know why? Because there's a major disconnect in the church loving itself. What's this? I'm supposed to love myself? You absolutely are. Agape love is something that has to be taught. It has to be learned, and it has to be practiced. Unconditional love is not normal for human beings. And so Jesus summed it up this way, two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And what is the second one? Love thy neighbor. So we love God first. Well, wait a minute. Y'all just can't phase out. They don't know where you went on TV. Listen, we love God first, and who do we love second? We have to love ourselves second. We have to. It's right there in the script. I didn't write that. Jesus spoke it, and it was written. What is a template for loving your neighbor? If I give you a blueprint and say, build this church according to this blueprint, how are you going to know what the church looks like? You got to go by the blueprint. Somebody getting this, I can tell. So if we're going to love our neighbor, we have to take unconditional love and love ourselves with it. And that's been a struggle. Because even as some of you sitting here this morning and you've been forgiven, the guilt of whatever that was that held you back, you still carry it around. Because you haven't learned to appropriate the unconditional love of Jesus Christ, that even while we were yet sinners, what did he do? He demonstrated his love, and he died for us. Oh, that's liberating right there to know. Listen, learn unconditional love and practice it on yourselves. As we practice it on ourselves, while we're practicing it on ourselves, guess what? We're going to practice it on our neighbors. It should be the case that whenever you squeeze, if you have Colgate at home, and you squeeze it, you're not going to get Crest out of that tube. Just doesn't work like that. If you have unconditional love in you, and you get squeezed, unconditional love should come out of you. Let me tell you something about this, Pastor. And for me, I mean, I so long to see the church functioning like the church. That's a big deal to me. And you know what makes me like that? It's the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. If that blood is real to us, I don't know how we could not practice being the church. I don't know how we could not practice unconditional love. He says, but in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. That's the backside of not loving unconditionally. And let me just say that the church has a tremendous track record for biting and devouring one another. Amen? Okay, so you all don't know about churches, right? So let's put this right on down front and make it real to you. We bite and devour one another at home. Not you all. I'm just saying there's a King's Chapel church somewhere where the members bite and devour one another at home. That'd be a good place to say amen if you weren't offended by what I just said. Listen, so that we can simplify this, where do churches come from? Homes. Churches come from homes. We had homes represented here. That's actually where church began. Oh, okay. You all got too quiet on me that time. When we, as your gifts, are allowed to minister the oneness of Christ, which is what he prayed for, you will find a power in this church, on this street, in this community, in this county, in this state. I'm serious about what I talk about. If 12 people could turn the world upside down, 50 plus, what could we do? As the praise team is coming, it's probably best to stop right there. Listen, do an examination on your heart. What about your obedience and your submission? What about your posture and your position of being overseen by someone that God has appointed over you? And how are you practicing oneness? Have you made it your business to kind of stand off on the sidelines and maybe not be touched, not be seen? Listen, I know there's hurt and pain out there. Some of it came in here this morning. Jesus wants to set us free from that. That's what he died for. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's pray. Search your hearts. Father God, we do thank you. And we give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you didn't leave it up to us to determine what we needed to be. We thank you for your precise instructions. How you've called us to you to be the church. Father, I lift up those who are before you this morning. And Father God, there's a heaviness on them, a weight on them, Lord God, that they don't feel like the very thing you've called them to. And Lord, I just pray that you would visit them right where they are in their hearts right now, Lord, to lift the weight. Send laborers across their paths to be able to encourage them. And Father, bring them into the fold that they may experience the lifeblood of the church as you flow through us. Father, I thank you that there will be multiple testimonies of how some online and in the sanctuary were set free this day, this moment. And Father, there are those who are not a part of your church, whom you're calling to yourself, those who have lived without God in this world, without Christ in their lives, and Father, they're just flat out lost. They've hit a rock. Father, I pray that you would draw them to you this morning. Let your Spirit speak mightily to their hearts. Help them to know and to understand that you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for their sins. And Father, that he was buried and that you raised him at the end of 3 days. And it is because of that resurrection, Lord God, we might have life. And so, Father, I pray that you would seal it in them this day, as they make a commitment to accept you, the gift of eternal life, in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.